Hello, I'm Brooke Johnson. Welcome to my father's podcast. For this week's message, or any of the messages in our archive, subscribe for free on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Bethel Christian Fellowship is a church that relies on the support of its community. We consider you a part of that community, and we would love for you to participate in our financial life. You can do that at our website at drcraigjohnson.org. Whether you're new to this space or a regular pod listener, we're glad you're here. We believe that this message will bring you hope, encouragement, and guidance. God bless you.
Good morning, church family. Put your hands together. Let's greet our loved ones. Welcome. Welcome. It's so good to be with you today. It's a windy day out here today. Oh, beloved, we're back in the names of God, and we're still in El Nathan Nakama. You say, how many weeks can you be in one? El Nathan Nakama. Remember, what does the name mean? God, my avenger. Beloved, did you know that God is the best avenger? No one escapes his vengeance. So you don't need to worry about guarding yourself. He's taking care of you. Well, today, beloved, we are going to talk about, I think, one of the most amazing topics. And we've been looking the last few weeks at a season of divine reversals. And the Lord has been doing divine reversals. He is right now in our lives accomplishing supernatural turnarounds. And it's a comfort to my heart. I was just talking to David. David gave us a booklet today that he had written, and he's going to show it to you later, called What the Law Really Is. And well, I'll tell you what, as a Christian, I'm so glad I don't have to keep the law to gain God's approval. Aren't you glad that you don't have to hump and pump and jump and go through hoops and chase your tail everywhere in order to be accepted? Well, we're going to talk about something today so important. This is a subject I wish I would have been taught when I was a boy. And it's entitled The Orphan Spirit. We're going to talk about the orphan spirit today, because I believe the Lord is going to give a turnaround in a particular category of being and thinking. And it has to do with the orphan heart. We might put it biblically this way, the fatherless heart. I know I'm talking to men, women, boys, and girls who have had issues all throughout their life with regard to acceptance. And we're going to look at that today under the guise of the orphan spirit. We're going to look at the orphan heart. And as we open our hearts today, we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to begin to do a work of healing and cleansing in us. You know, Jesus said when you could name a demon, you had authority over it. Well, when you can name an issue that has haunted you your entire life, you then have authority over it. You can then open your heart for a greater degree of healing. And so we're going to be comparing orphans with sons and daughters today. Because let me tell you the good news. You are a son and daughter. If you know Jesus Christ today as your Savior, you are His beloved Son, in whom He's well pleased. You are already His beloved daughter, in whom He is well pleased. You don't need to earn that position. You don't need to perform your way to some kind of an attainment. Isn't it good to know? What a delicious thought that you would not have to perform to earn God's favor. Even when we know that in our minds, it still has to take a while to get from our heads to our hearts. So we're going to talk about an orphan spirit today. I want to read Romans 8, 14 through 17. For all who are being led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs, also heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Jesus Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. May God bless the reading of His Word. Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Another text, John 14, 18, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Oh, beloved. You know, when we look at the fall, we're so familiar with the general theme of the biblical story. But there are really six things that Adam and Eve lost in the fall. When they sinned against God, remember what happened in the garden. They knew they were naked. And so what we notice is there was an immediate loss of relationship with the Father, along with the constant reminders of his love and acceptance. As soon as they sinned and rebelled, there was an immediate sense of loss of the immediate presence of the Father and his glory. Most theologians believe that they were, before they knew they were naked, they were clothed with the Shekhinah, the glory of God. They had the felt sense of God's presence covering them. And as soon as that sin occurred, they had an immediate loss of the felt sense of the Father. What a crushing reality. Secondly, they lost their identity. They lost the sense of who they were and where they came from. It was isolation. They didn't die immediately. In the day you eat, you shall surely die. They died spiritually. But I want you to see, it's horrifying to think of being so intimate with the Heavenly Father, that all is well. And the thought of that being torn away in a moment. And third, they lost their home, their whole inheritance of the garden. They were put out of the place they felt so secure. And then they lost their place of belonging, along with the sense of the peace that they had had, their very purpose of existence. Big losses. Then they lost trust. When they chose not to trust the Father, they didn't know who and what to trust. From that point on, there's a spirit of suspicion. Next, they lost their pleasurable work. Everything they did, they were doing to the glory of God, but that was lost. And so immediately, this spirit of what we're going to be calling the orphan spirit descends upon the garden. And now Adam and Eve, instead of just hosting glory and blessing and unbroken connection, now all of a sudden all the traits of the orphan spirit begin to filter in. Now listen to these traits and look at your heart. The orphan spirit, by definition, or the orphan heart, or we might call it the fatherless heart. Here's some traits. Feelings of abandonment, isolation, and alienation. The spirit convinces us that we are alone, we're unloved, we're unworthy of connection with God and others. Look for these predominant symptoms in your life and in your personal world. Feelings of abandonment, isolation. You just can never do enough. You don't measure up. No matter what happens, you don't measure up. And this curse on all of our women in this culture, even to this day, as I look at Brooke and I look at Arwen, just don't measure up. You just don't look right. You just don't act right. You just don't dress right. You just a general sense of alienation. The orphan spirit also fosters insecurity, rejection, and a deep longing for approval. All of us, all of our lives have been wanting all of these things. Symptoms, struggle with self-worth, seek validation through performance. Oh, watch out now. That's the key word today, performance. When you have to perform to belong, you're in trouble. Whether it's a friendship, a relationship, and especially in a so-called relationship with God. Now, if you're in a cult, a non-Christian cult, it's always works related. It's always performance oriented. You got to do to be valuable. You've got to do. The law says do. The gospel says done. The good news we have is that we do not gain the love of God through performance. We cannot lose the love of God through performance. He'll never love you any more than he does right now. He'll never love you less than he does right now. If that could get from our head to our heart, we'd be doing wonderfully well today. We wouldn't be praying for anything. Fear of intimacy. We avoid vulnerability. This is all the orphan spirit, the orphan heart, the fatherless heart. Are you performance-based at work, at home, in relationship? Do you have to feel that you need to fight for connection? You need to earn a place where you're nice enough or talented enough or you mean enough to get love back? This is an exhausting process, isn't it? Fear of intimacy. The orphan spirit avoids vulnerability because vulnerability hurts. So when you're honest and you're forthright and you're vulnerable, you're most in a position where you can be harmed and hurt. Mm-hmm. Operating with independence and avoiding genuine connection. You know, you can become very isolated when the orphan spirit is at work in your heart, when this orphan heart is beating as it normally does, because you have to maintain control over your life at all times. You can't be vulnerable because then you'll be wounded. Oh, here's some more goodies. Isn't this lovely? Just want to warm the cockles of your heart to begin with the fear of abandonment. Performance-driven mentality all the time. Difficulty receiving correction. Ooh, because if you're ever wrong, that means you're utterly bad. See, healthy shame says, you know, you fall down at a party and you drop your soda and you feel so embarrassed and you just, oh my God, you turn red. That's healthy shame. That lets you know you're a human being made in the image of God and you screwed up, right? Toxic shame says you are flawed. You didn't do something wrong. You are wrong. You are fundamentally unlovable and that's it. You're not worthy of love. Now, isn't it interesting how the enemy day and night doesn't hit one brick a thousand, doesn't hit a thousand bricks once. He hits one brick a thousand times. You're stupid, you're dumb, you're ugly, your mama dresses you funny. You fell out of the ugly tree and hit every branch on the way down. He's still saying the same thing at 3 a.m. when you get up to go to the bathroom. You're useless. You're not worth anything. What is that voice? I don't want that voice. God certainly isn't talking to me that way. But that voice is always talking to me when I get up at night to go to the bathroom. By the time I get to the toilet, I've already been assaulted 1,000 times by a voice that says, you don't measure up. What are you doing walking around alive? You've never done anything for God. And I'm thinking, excuse me, I'm just trying to be here. Whoever you are. The orphan spirit, feeling unloved, feeling unworthy. Struggling with trust, having an issue with dependence, fear of abandonment. This spirit, and it has a name, and you can name it from now on, the orphan spirit. Look it up online. There's a million articles, million books. But I just felt today that I wanted to put a special spotlight on this spirit because I believe the Lord is wanting to reverse the consequences of the orphan spirit, the orphan heart, and the fatherless heart. Because, beloved, you're no longer orphans. We all were at one time when we were outside of the kingdom of God. But once we move into Christ, we leave the orphan dimension and we enter into that glorious reign as sons and daughters of the living God. And there is a huge distinction between the orphan spirit and its characteristics and sons and daughters and their unique characteristics. And I want to do just a little comparison chart, maybe at home if you have a pen, some paper, or you can just listen to this message again over and over. But I want to just contrast the orphan spirit and the spirit of sonship to let you see just a wash of the difference, the different traits between the two kingdoms. First of all, orphans are independent. They're always independent because they have to be in control. Sons and daughters are dependent. They're at rest in the Father's arms. They don't have to be independent. They're dependent in relation to God, and they're interdependent in relation to their brothers and sisters. So you don't need to be independent anymore. Independence, in an unhealthy sense, is a sign of an orphan spirit. Secondly, orphans are uncertain. Sons and daughters are at peace. So you're supposed to be at peace because of your Lord and your Savior and your position in Christ. You're to feel that you belong, plugged into the body of Christ, your brothers and sisters who adore you and love you just for who you are, not for any of your idiosyncrasies, of which I see a few as I just scan the room. Orphans are uncertain. Sons and daughters are at peace. Orphans strive to perform. Sons and daughters rest in grace. Oh, isn't that comfy cozy? I don't want to be independent anymore. I don't want to be uncertain. I don't want to strive to perform. I want to be dependent on God. I want to be at peace, and I want to be resting in His grace. And next, orphans serve out of duty. They serve out of duty. Sons and daughters obey out of delight. It's delight-based obedience. Did you obey? Oh, I certainly did. It was absolutely delicious. It was wonderful. It's like, what is wrong with you? You people talk strange. The early Christians were completely odd and strange in their culture because they lived in a culture surrounded by orphans. As rich as you were, as pretty as you were, as handsome as you were, as talented as you were just an orphan outside of God and Christ. And you were in bondage. And you were in darkness. But then we meet Jesus. Orphans are tired and religious. Sons and daughters are grateful and joyful because they're full. They're at rest. Oh, wouldn't you just like to rest? I have so many Christian friends, and they're still just always jacked up and going and nervous kinetic energy. You know, orphan spirits being whipped by the taskmaster. Go, go, go. And I'm beloved, you say, you know, I got to keep hyped up here. I'm not going to get anything done. Beloved, you don't even know what you could get done if it was coming from a posture of peace. Like the Quaker said, peace at the center. See, the orphan spirit is a cruel taskmaster. And you get a lot done being driven by that. I'll give you that. But imagine how much more if everything was flowing from a place of peace, a place of rest, a place of grace. Orphans resent submission. Sons and daughters are meek and they are submitted. They love submitting to God's Spirit. It's delicious. It's wonderful. It's a feast for us. Does God need to come in and reverse an orphan spirit? I think He does. Well, I'm going to let Him do it for me anyway today. I want a divine turnaround in this department. I want everything in my life to flow as a son, to flow in effortlessly and flow out effortlessly as a son of God and not as some orphaned thing. You know, there are orphan leaders in the body of Christ. Oh, I'll tell you a secret. There are more orphans in the pulpit trying to get their own needs met through people than you could ever hope to know. Now, thank God, God can strike a straight blow with a crooked stick, as you all demonstrate. Every one of you. But do you know how a leader can become a taskmaster because they're still giving in an attempt to get to be the center of attention? Guess what? It doesn't work. It'll exhaust you, and it especially exhausts the saints of God. If you have a shepherd that is dominated by an orphan spirit, they can't rest. You can't rest. It's project to project. It's keeping the folk. You got to keep the, you know, give the folks a project or they'll make you their project now. Frenetic energy. You can even be a leader dominated by an orphan spirit. That means no matter what you accomplish, you are never at peace. You're always driving. And when you're driven, you drive people. And people come to church because they're desperate for rest and peace and safety, just for an hour. Could we just please, like, please don't give me a sermon with 95 points. Please don't make me work, you know, while I'm here, you know, sing two hymns in a hurry. Jump up. Okay, wave your hands. Okay, sit down. He's like, oh, my God, I came in here to almost die in God's peace and presence. We've been fighting the flesh and the devil all week. We go to church to hopefully sleep. Some of you sleep. That's a good thing. Go one friend, you can sleep here anytime you want. Just pull up your little pillow. And in the presence of God, relax. That's the greatest compliment in the world, that you can come in here and rest. And that we can be with one another and rest. Isn't it wonderful? We can have dinner and it's a lavish feast of joy and laughter and happiness and contentment. And you know what? Then you go home feeling like a son or a daughter. You don't feel like an orphan. I've had fellowship with everybody in this church, and I don't feel like an orphan when I'm around. Impossible, because there's so much sonship and daughtership. There's so much joy. We laugh way too much. And you know who you are. Every one of you know who you are. I'm not going to shepherd a church with people that laugh all the time. Yes, I am. So, let me give you some more treat. Orphans resist. Sons and daughters find it easy to be at home. They're not resisting anything. They're not resisting anyone. Oh my gosh. You know, we just think, well, man, I'd be a super spiritual Christian if I had all these traits of a son or a daughter. Well, yes, darling, but these traits are available to you the second you're born again. You don't need to wait 30 years. Like that old woman that said, I've been in the way now for 50 years. I said, yes, you have been, sister. Immediately, you can begin to relish in your new identity in Jesus as a son or a daughter, because it has nothing to do with the orphan spirit we've been contending with all of our lives. Heard a country song. Shannon, one of Michael's nurses, who was such an angel, Shannon was big country music. And there was some country music song about... it was something about keep dancing, baby. It's like, you know, I won you dancing, and I got to keep dancing. Watch how you get somebody, because you got to keep them the same way. Now, some of you just got real tired real quick, because if you gotta perform, sweetie, my God. I watch people every day in relationships, and they always want to put God's name on it, but they're exhausted. They come to me because they're confused and they're not satisfied and they're not at peace because they're running around dancing. So Shannon would come in the house and she'd all start that dance. I said, keep it going, baby. Keep it going. Because how you get them is how you have to keep them. And isn't that exhausting to think about? You know, can't we just, when we're together in Jesus, that's the way our fellowship should be. Because if I'm too tense and I'm getting seduced by that orphan spirit, you can calm me down. Kim, give me a big old hug and bust that orphan's neck. Hey, man. That's what all your hugs are doing, Kim. They're busting orphans' necks. Oh, I hope no one took that out of context. What giving to them orphans? What's going on out there? Beloved, orphans rarely feel like they belong. We always feel easily at home in the love of God. Orphans feel God is distant. Sons and daughters know He's closer to us than our own thoughts. See, your God picture is very important. But your God picture, if it's correct and biblical, is always going to be in line with this comparison. There are no orphan traits in the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that good news? When you go to heaven, there's no orphan. There's no orphans there. Now, an orphan, by definition, in the Bible times, was someone without a father, because they were seen as being without protection, without covering, without provision, without wisdom, without counsel. They were considered just lost to the world. What's going to happen to a child like that? So being a fatherless child is a tactic that Satan has been using in all of our hearts and our thoughts since we were little. Because many of you still had to earn the love of your parents when you were little. Or, you know, you had to check the weather when you came in the house. Is mama nuts today or is mama okay? Is daddy crazy? Is he drinking or is he okay? You know, we all do that. We come in and sort of check the wind and see what's going on. Is it an orphan spirit wind blowing today? It's an orphan wind today. It's an orphan wind today. Oh my God, watch out. Or someone has to warn you, oh, he's really worked up today. I'm telling you, it's orphan town today. That's the difference between orphans and sons and daughters. God needs to come and turn around, miraculously reverse. Now, here's the good news. Jesus can do in a second what we couldn't do in a lifetime. He's a suddenly God. He wants to suddenly turn around. It could take your whole life. It's taken a long time. I talked to someone the other day. I said, sweetheart, it's taken you 35 years to get where you are right now. It's going to take a little bit of time to relearn some things. Because how many years have we been tap dancing trying to please an orphan spirit? Or you can have a loved one who's generally okay, but when they're not, woo. There was a little girl that had a little curl right in the middle of her forehead. When she was good, she was very, very good. When she was wicked, she was horrid. There are some people that are mostly sons and daughters until they're not. And then that orphan streak that's still in them strikes out at you. Beloved, it's hard to deal with orphaned children because you have to watch them all the time. You have to monitor them all the time. But you know what? We're all called to shepherd orphan children. Because we're all from orphaned homes. But this category is so important to me. This is one of the most, I would say, redemptive categories I've ever heard in my personal life. Because I always flirted with insecurity in these areas, this orphan spirit, this orphan dilemma. Because I'm, in one sense, I'm a very confident person in that I know who I am. And I know a lot about who I am and what I'm here for. But when I was very small, I was raised in a home that was not the most stable place to maintain a constant identity. I constantly had to check on my parents, make sure they're okay, make sure my brother's okay and wasn't doing anything crazy. And at a very young age, my orphan nature was peeking out because I was in control of my house. I mean, I was in charge at my house. And I was keeping mom and dad away from each other and happy together. And they'd sit down and light a cigarette up and start their little happy hour at beer time at 5 o'clock. And as soon as my mom had one drink, she began to leer at my dad, just would leer at him. I thought, oh God, here we go. So I was tap dancing all the time. I'd get my guitar out and I'd sing for my parents because they're sitting in their little room there with their beer and their cigarette. And so I was the comedian, and I kept the family together, and I kept mom and dad away from one another. I'm counseling marriages when I'm 12. When I'm 12 years old, I'm counseling marriages, and each of the partners were drunk because they all came to see me in nightclubs, and they were all drinking. So I it would a matter of time before I sat down at the table after I was up singing to take a break, and I'd be counseling marriages. Jim, now sit back now. Let's hear what Sally has to say. Now, Sally, you've had your say. Let's hear what Jim feels. Jim, what do you feel about? I was constant, ambidextrous. I was counseling the universe. I was keeping everybody away from everybody else. And that's exhausting. That's a human doing, not a human being. Well, the good news is that God had you develop. That was the gym he put you in to develop all your spiritual muscles. Isn't that true? The house you were raised in taught you how to fence. It was a gym. You know, you learned all of your structure in that relationship. So it's not all bad. God always steps in and redeems things. But I think what he was telling me all week was that he wants to touch some of these orphaned areas to bring a felt sense of healing today. Just a deep, tender, maybe just an erase. You can bring an erasure to start erasing parts of who we are that have always been so fight or flight. You know what I mean? It's like you can't even lay down and sleep. You're waiting for someone to break in and try to kill you. You know, it's like, good night, relax. Grant would put Michael to bed and he'd go, hey, good night. Don't just think because you're handicapped means you're saved. Good night. Only my kid could say something like that. We love you, Grant. We do. Feeling unloved, unworthy, struggling with trust and dependence, fear of abandonment, fear of rejection, performance-driven mentality, comparing and competing with others. Isn't that exhausting? You know, with an orphan spirit, you feel very envious because when other people compete and win, we start striving with people. Someone says, why are you competing with that? I'm not competing with anyone. Yeah, it's an orphan trait. Orphans are always competing. And they always have to be in control. Always. You know, if they're not in control, they're nothing. Well, beloved, maybe God's calling you to a lovely, restful couch. Amen. That he can turn around all the isolation and independence and the fear and insecurity and the performance orientation. Because, beloved, when you encounter the Father's love for 1 second, it undoes all those tightly wound watch springs. Tick, tick, tick. They just start undoing. And Jesus' presence touches you. And his presence is here right now. It's here right now. Lord, come and save us today from the orphan spirit. Jesus, I thank you. You promised me that you were going to reverse the orphan spirit, that you were going to bring a sudden overturn today. As we turn the light on and we bring these things to the light, we ask now, Lord, that they would evaporate. In the name of Jesus Christ, we curse every fruit of the orphan spirit. Father, bring healing and tenderness to the orphan heart. We ask you, Lord, we just lift up the covers and ask you to come in, bring your light, bring your warmth, bring your transformation in the name of Jesus. Lord, give us a big bug zapper that will just effortlessly zap this orphan spirit. All these orphan traits just starting to be removed from us, Lord. It doesn't take forever. It can be done in a moment. So we ask you to turn around through us suddenly. And we pray that you cleanse all of us sons and daughters, Lord. Purify us of the orphan traits, Lord. Correct us in our God picture where we're thinking wrong of you. Forgive us, Lord, for having such weird thoughts we've stockpiled against you. You're altogether lovely. You're totally on our side. You want everything to go well for your precious babies, Lord. We pray that you would give us a cleansing touch of fire now, Lord. I pray fire by the power of the Holy Spirit to consume every bit of wood, hay, and stubble that is the orphan heart. Father, we ask you to come and cleanse our hearts, Lord. We ask you to purify the gold and the silver of our talents, gifts, and abilities and burn up the wood, hay, and stubble. We give you permission to consume all the wood, the hay, and the stubble associated with the orphan soul, Lord. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We are not orphans in this world. And we give you thanks, Jesus. You promised us I won't leave you orphans. I won't leave you orphans. I will come to you, Lord. Come to everyone right now in this moment, Lord. Come, visit. In the name of Jesus Christ, every power of darkness, we lay it low in the blood of Christ right now. Every work of the enemy trying to ensuave with darkness, we command you, respond to the light of heaven and leave this people in the name of Jesus. Spirit of rejection, leave in Jesus' name. Spirit of isolation and loneliness, leave in the name of Jesus Christ. Spirit of insecurity and personal identity issues, be transformed right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Even as deep as the roots of the orphan spirit have been, hooked deep down into the heart. We pray, Lord, that you lay an axe to the root right now in Jesus' name for all my precious ones, Lord. Lay an axe to the root and pull out of the garden, God, all these false roots of the orphan heart. And we ask, Lord, that you wash us clean in the warm, warm honey of your love right now, down into our very bellies, God, down where your peace alone can go, Lord, down in the inner parts, that you would bring a cleaning and a cleansing and a warmth, Lord. Let us feel warm down in our tummies, Lord. Warmth by your Holy Spirit, Lord. A cleansing, just a supernatural vacuum, a cleansing, and then a melting of all of these symptoms, Lord, that you wipe them off, right? Now wipe them away from the top of the head to the soles of the feet. In the name of Jesus, clap your hands in the name of the Lord. Put your hands together right now in the name of the Lord. Amen. What a mighty God. He can do in a second what we couldn't hope to accomplish in a lifetime. He's that quick. Doesn't take forever. But sometimes it seems the definition has to last forever until we finally define all this stuff. And then we can get a grip on it. And we can see it in others. See, when I can't see any orphan spirit on me, you can. You can see it. I can see things about you that you can't see about you, and you can see things about me I can't see about me. That's why we are the body of Christ. That's why we need one another. Amen. Now, David, bring the table of the Lord up now. Let's apply that table right here at the root of this issue. And I know you've got some comments also about law, this orphan spirit. You wrote a whole book about it.
Connected. They are. Welcome, everybody, to the table of the Lord. Boy, it's the great place to be. I'm praying right now. You know, I had a vision. When you see a huge ship that needs to be contained and docked, usually there's this huge cable, huge rope. Or sometimes if you see some cargo being carried or transported, sometimes it's steel and it's meshed together and woven. What I'm praying for today is that by the word of God that came through Pastor Craig, those strands that may be still holding you, Jesus is snipping right now so that you feel a little more free. You're starting to feel a burden lifted off of you. And man, is that important. And the table of the Lord is a lot about that, about freeing us from those burdens. So I wanted to, before we, let's go to the cup first, because there's an amazing thing that Jesus revealed to the Apostle Paul that I wanted to speak over you as we, right before we partake of the blood of Jesus. And I hope that this word will help snip some more strands. It's from Colossians 2, verse 24. God blotted out the handwritten decrees that were against you and nailed them to the cross. Those handwritten decrees can be the Ten Commandments. It could be all 613 of those rules and regulations that are in Deuteronomy, Leviticus, Numbers. God nailed it to the cross of Jesus to free you. So let's celebrate that and let's partake of his blood. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Some of those written requirements are also physical, and they were written in Deuteronomy 28. You don't have to go there, but just realize that Jesus freed you from the physical aspects of that too with his broken body. So let's break the bread. Let's thank Jesus that he's freed us from the physical aspects of the curse, all in his glory. Now, this last week, I wrote this little booklet about what the law really is. This is not the end-all, be-all necessarily, but what it is a little synopsis of the word that Jesus used to free me, some experiences I had, some revelations I had to free me. And all this came about, well, for years. He's been snipping the strands for me to free me. But one of my family members got involved in a crazy religious cult. And I felt like even more was revealed to me. And I wrote this for her, actually. But then I felt like, wow, this is something to share. So any of you out there, if you would like this booklet, Mike Fuller has this on PDF. All you have to do is give us your email address, and we'll give this to you for free. And anybody that you're going to contribute financially to our ministry here, just give us your address, and we'll mail this for free to you so that you have it, because I think it'll really bless you, just like the whole ministry here that Pastor Craig has, and everybody here. They're all ministers of God's grace. And thank you for being with us. Praise Jesus for that, you know, we're celebrating in Advent, coming up with his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. And may you be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, David. And just do contact us, and we'll send this out to you. Amen. Mike Fuller's the man. He'll do it. He'll do it. I want to pray for you and your family right now. Particularly, I want to pray for your finances. You know, as we share with you, and everything we have here is free, the website's free, you can have thousands of messages on there. Do what you want with them. They're free. But we give intentionally because, you know, we did another cable show about God, that show for 26 years. We never asked for anything. We never got anything. We just gave. Mike gave bicycle tapes all over the west side and everywhere. And we just gave. We had a ball giving. And that's what this kingdom is. It's a kingdom of sharing and giving and of generosity. And so if we feed you, then it's only good that we would ask that you would consider feeding us and helping in the work practically, because it costs money to do this stuff. And we are so grateful for, as David said, for your attention, for your presence. And we want you to feast away at this place. But we feed you, and we would just ask that you would consider blessing us financially at this place. Easy to do. Just go online, our website, drcraigjohnson.org. It's all there. It's easy peasy to do. But I want to just end today by praying specifically for you and your families. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift our beloved up to you right now, God. We lift, Father, the financial house representative of our brothers and sisters today, Lord, that you would bring grace and financial provision to the lives of these families and these loved ones, Lord, that you would move supernaturally with this glorious reversal word, and that you would reverse negativity, and that you would turn around any negativity or depletion with regard to the finances of this people, and that you would let them have a season of feasting, provision, and blessing, Lord. And we ask, Lord God, that you would bring spiritual rest and comfort and peace. Lord, we've rebuked that spirit of the orphan, and we pray now that all of these sons and daughters would begin to feel new life flowing into their lives at every level, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We love you. We are so grateful for you. And just soak in the truth that's been ministered to you today. And I want you to feel some freedom. And do give a testimony. If the Lord breaks something off of you, just send in a little email and just say, Mike, God delivered me. Or if you want to pray that Mike be delivered, you just go ahead and do that. And then we'll all get the bags out. We love you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift his countenance unto you and give you peace. Amen. God bless you.
We hope today's message has been a blessing to you. And if it has, please visit our website at drcraigjohnson.org. There you can find additional messages of encouragement. And if our ministry has been a blessing to you, please consider us in your ministry giving, as we depend solely on the financial assistance of our listeners like yourself. Also, please feel free to send any personal prayer requests. You can find us online at drcraigjohnson.org. God bless you.